is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll likely sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints that has caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory recall and focus. I'll chew it all the time. Anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum. It's got about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece. A little L-theanine and B vitamins kind of gets me to where I need to be. I'll chew it before a workout, while I'm training jujitsu, or while I'm out showing clients or making calls. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. If you're looking, if you've got a beard and you're looking for our good grooming products, all natural ingredients, they got all sorts of great things like balms, butters, oils, and cleaning kits for your beard. They also make body wash and deodorant. And if you're looking to set the mood with your girl, got candles as well. So you're covered on any essentials that you would need as a guy in terms of making things smell good. I always like to say it'll make your girl want to kiss you.
Big shout out to Gabe, man. That's my boy, right there.
Gabe's awesome. Yeah.
I use that stuff on there. I had the worst dandruff.
Dude,
I was sitting there going, just rubbing my face and it's falling over. I was like, what's going on in my life? I thought it was from my head. And I was like, no, it's your beard. And he gave me some.
That's why I use it too, because I get horrible beard dandruff and I use it. I mean, it just smells good too. I use that instead of like cologne now.
I used to look at guys that had beards and stuff all over them. I was like, you gross guys. Like, you got shit all over you. Now I'm like, you've turned into that guy.
Right. Yeah.
What are you doing? Let me get some of that gum though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those are just the mints.
Or the mint, whatever. Yeah. You start saying that, you got me all hyped up.
They're good,
man. Let's get
in it. Yeah. They're good. Yeah. About 40 milligrams per piece. So they're not going to, you know, get you too
knock your socks off, but it's enough to give you a little bit of a kick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I cut out caffeine. Well, I didn't say caffeine. I cut out energy drinks for the most part.
Mm.
And I've been taking before I work out. There's a caffeine pill and L-carnitine. And it's like there's no crash, no nothing. So little things like that aren't an energy drink that's got all that shit in it, I'm all for trying that.
Yeah, I love these things, man. It was just kind of funny how they kind of become a little sponsor for us. I just bought it as a product.
Are they St. Louis brand?
No,
they're out of California. I bought a big old pack of the gum because I heard Rogan talking about it, and so I was just talking about it with a guest one day, and she was like, "Oh, is that that caffeine gum?" And I like did a fake little ad. Murph clipped it up, you know. Murph clipped
it Murph?
Up. Yeah, he Murphed it, and. And then they ended up seeing it, and I got in touch with the CEO, and we had a nice conversation. He sent us just a giant box full of it. We'll send you home some.
Yeah. Great. Listen, that's how the smallest things work right there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously we're a smaller podcast, so, you know, we're just getting started. And speaking of, you know, for all of you guys out there that are watching, if you don't mind clicking that subscribe button for us, that helps us out a ton. We're not at a point where we can be getting giant sponsors and stuff, but, you know, for someone to send us a box full of free stuff, the stuff that we actually use, I mean, we're all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
But to introduce our guest today, we're really happy he's here. I've been really excited about this episode because I think we got a lot of great questions for him. He is the the founder and co-owner of New Age Health and Wellness, the great and powerful Rocky Alberti.
Yeah.
Welcome, sir.
I'm glad I'm here, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate you guys having me on here.
Absolutely.
Of course, man. Yeah, we've been
excited about this since we saw each other Clean Eats.
I love that place, man. Yeah. That cafe is, it's right up the street.
Rest
I go there
my
all
boy.
The time.
If you guys don't know, go to Clean Eats, try it out.
Yeah, we actually just was talking with him last night. I got him on the schedule, too.
So, awesome.
Yeah,
man. He's
going to be a great episode.
He's also a really good personal trainer, fitness guy. So he has a spot, so I coach ice hockey at Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. So at our rink, our rink here in the workout studio, you can see our rink from where he's at up there. So he trains my players and stuff like that. So the connection of that guy is
awesome. Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, I've actually been there. He put like my whole office through a workout one day, and it was cool. Yeah, and he actually trains jiu-jitsu at the same – well, through the same affiliation as I do. We've never actually trained together yet, but we keep talking about it.
That guy's a hell of an athlete, snowboarder, all types of stuff.
Yeah,
man.
He's a big dude.
Incredible.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah. We're excited to have him.
Yeah, that'll be a good one for sure. Especially, you know, he's got, you know, I feel like he's got a lot of, does a lot of things, you know, so I think that'll be a really interesting one with all the coaching and then owning Clean Eats and all these other things. So that'll be a fun one. But
yeah, it's my guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, why don't you, you know, for the people out there that don't know you, who is Rocky?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different versions of me out there right now, but Rocky Alberti, you know, my past, what I've done a lot of stuff of has been fitness, coaching. You know, hockey's a big part of my life. Was in the fitness industry for a long time. Was a district man. Well, I started out as a general manager of a Bally Toll Fitness when I was 18. And I got hooked. I mean, I was a 5'10" skinny nerd type guy. I just started working out hard and knew I wanted to take hockey to the next level. So it helped escort me to being able to play college hockey. And I just never left the industry for a long time. Went from being a general manager there to a general manager of Club Fitness in Webster Groves
at
the time. Then turned into one of the first district managers of Club Fitness. I broke off from there probably about after 8 years of being there. You know, helped them scale that company to a pretty big level at the time.
They're huge now, man.
Yeah. And when I left there to start a marketing agency, because I had a big passion besides fitness for marketing, because I did a lot of music. And I learned at a young age that a good company, it doesn't matter the company, it's a good training company and a good marketing company. You do those two things very well. You can train culture, you can train products, do all that stuff, and then you got to market it out there. So be able to help escalate a lot of things that I had in my mind. I wanted to start a marketing agency. So we did, very successful at it. Club Fitness was my very first client after that. After I left, the owners were like, hey, you did a really good job working for us. So, you know, we want you to continue working for us. So I took over that. Sold my partnership in that ad agency probably about 10 years ago. I'm just showing off my age there. About 10 years ago, sold my partnership in there to me and the business partner at the time. You know, I wanted to take the company one direction. He wanted to take the company another direction. Started getting into software at that point. Ended up being a sales director for a software company. But the software company kind of, it's wild. Like, life's wild. But every single thing that I did kind of led me to the path of new age. The software company helped me understand how to scale and build a company to the size that I want to build this company to. Because I knew how to do a lot of things, but I didn't know how to scale a company to actually, you know, we want 1,000 locations, right? And I've made our goal very clear to our team. And they have the same goal. But to get to a level which to turn your company into $1 billion, $2 billion company, you have to be able to scale it, have the systems, processes, everything in place. I'd never seen how that was done before. I've never seen how you scale from a large level. CRO of that company kind of like took me under his wing. Like, I don't know why and how or it happened, but he like immediately gravitated towards me, helped escalate my career in that business, and just showed me how it works on that high of a level. So, and we started New Age. And it's helped give me the whole idea, the whole vision of how to scale that business all the way through. On the business side of it, that's me. Home side, you know, I'm a father. My daughter's my entire world. And anybody can see my social media can see that. Like, and you don't even have to see that, you know. That's just, if anybody that knows me, I get her 50% of her time. Me and her mom are best friends. We were young. She was young. You know, she was 23 playing college soccer. You know, I was a little older, but we just knew it wasn't going to work. So we developed a great friendship, took it to the next level, and now we raise our daughter. She's got an awesome husband, 3 other kids, and but that's what I do. You know, my entire life is in golf with hockey, my daughter, New Age, all the time. You know, and obviously I fit my friends in there because I have a lot of friends, and a lot of friends are family. So, you know, to build long-lasting relationships, you got to make time for your friends. You can't just call them every once in a while. You got to make sure you show up for them, see them. So that's the fourth pillar for me is my friends. Because they're who I am. They're a direct reflection of the people around you. People say 5. I have a lot of really good people way past 5 around me. But I make sure the right people are around me. I take very big pride in that. Those are the 4 things about me that like everybody knows about.
Yeah, that's, man. Awesome. Well, there's a lot to dig in here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's start. We'll dig into all of that. Let's start with New Age. Tell us a little bit about New Age and the things that you guys are doing that differentiate you from other places. And you mentioned wanting to grow this and scale this. Let's dive into that and start with that.
So our vision from New Age from the start, you know, and nothing against any of the other places, because I look at all competition, all people. If as long as somebody's going into a clinic and doing something, I'm happy, you know, because there's a lot of stigma that goes around our business, you know, a lot of it. But we didn't want a place to just cater to men, which is where a lot of people have taken this hormone therapy, testosterone replacement therapies to men. No, we want to develop a place that a husband and a wife or partners could come in together and take the journey together. Because you'd be surprised at how many people don't want to tell the other side of their significant other because they're embarrassed. You know, when guys have low T, you know, they're depressed, they're angry, they're sad, they have no energy, and you're embarrassed sometimes. You know, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
So my shit isn't working right.
Right. No. Yeah. You know, and sex drive, your shit's not working right. You know, your spouse would be like, you're just not attracted to me anymore. And you're like, no, it's not it. Which happened to me when I was younger. So we wanted to build a place that both of them felt comfortable coming together and take the journey together. What if the wife got on hormone therapy, or if she did weight loss, or she did peptides, IVs, the husband did this. And we have. That's our success. That's our recipe, is being able to make an environment that doesn't feel too masculine, doesn't feel too feminine. This feels good, and people want to come in and take the journey together. And that was our entire vision from the start, and it's coming to life right now.
And
for sure.
Well, going back to the start, what kind of drove you into that?
I'll tell you what. I was with a woman before, my ex-wife, and, you know, she was gorgeous. And I didn't want to have sex with her. I didn't want to be with her. I didn't want to be around her. And I just was like, fuck, I guess this is where I had life. Well, this is where I'm at. Did a lot more research, had some friends in the business at the time, and, you know, got tested back then. And, you know, I had very low testosterone, very low. After taking it for 90 days, my life changed. I mean, completely changed. Every single thing about me changed. Who I was, my energy, my aura, my drive, you know, confidence, my sleep, everything changed. I was like, oh, shit. All right. Well, I'm back, you know. Yeah. And from there, it took a lot of years in between there, you know, because I didn't really.
How old were you when happened?
33. 32, 33, somewhere right down. So, you know, I didn't really know there was a business or an industry that really went off like that, you know, because back then I was taking my labs, getting tested. There was only a few places. So at the time I was, you know, getting the stuff off the street, like a lot of people do for a long time. Then eventually I started switching and getting from a clinic and understanding the difference between pharmaceutical grade and bullshit. And, you know, it was life changing, and it made me want to help people. Maybe one, because the amount of people I sent to other places was, you know, 50, 60 of my friends I was sending to different clinics. And I'm like, man, I could do this. You know, I want to do this. So I started moving some pieces around the board. I had a conversation with my business partner, Jason Redman. The guy's an animal as far as operations. Like, I think I'll go toe to toe with anybody in the country as far as being able to do operations. Like, I want no part of that. Like, you know, that you got to be ADD. There's a lot of things to understand processes and structures and things like that in an operation system, that everybody's like, oh, I could do that. Can you really?
Right.
You know, like, there's a lot more that goes into something like that. You know, at first he was like, I can't do this. I don't have the money. I was like, don't worry about that. I'll find that. And then I had a conversation with my business partner, Steve and Kathy, and we started moving pieces around the board and got the business going. And here we are now. You know, we're getting ready to open our third corporate store in De Pere. November 9th, it's going to be right next to Circle 7 Ranch. Can't wait. It's going to be a flagship for us. It's going to be an awesome place. So we have one in Ladue, Lake St. Louis, De Pere. Leawood, Kansas is the franchise with a good buddy, Micah Cullen. Then we just inked a deal with James Madden for Gulf Shores, Alabama. You know, we have a lot of good things going right now with these franchises, too. We built a very solid foundation and structure, did it the right way. A lot of people don't really realize that there's a lot that goes into actually selling a franchise legally. There's a lot of people that just think they can sell their brand, and they legally aren't even allowed to sell their brand. Even though you own the brand, you don't really have the rights to sell it the right way. We learned that the hard way through a couple different processes that I'm not going to go in on here, but we learned that the hard way. But we've built an awesome structure right now with lending and just everything around it, that, like, trying to build an awesome culture and take this thing nationwide and help as many people as humanly possible.
Awesome. Well, I'm definitely gonna be getting in there. I mean, we're talking about this before we started recording, but I'm going through that right now.
Yeah.
And getting that all figured out. It's been a process trying to go through primary and all that. So, you know,
it's a nightmare.
It is. It's been about a year now that this process has started, and I'm still sitting here with low testosterone. Nothing's happened. It's just, oh, go see this person, this person, this person. And I'm just ready to make that jump. So I'll be seeing you guys soon. And
come
and,
on in, and, brother. We'll get you taken care of
and getting things set up. And like you said, I mean, from where you said you were at when you started this, that's about the levels that I'm at. And
which, you know, makes me know how you feel, because I feel like shit.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. And I can go back and think, because, you know, I remember when I was in pro ball, you know, going through my physicals and things like that to start the season every year, they would do blood work and everything would come back and they're like, maybe you have a problem with your thyroid. Like that's like the first thing my primary said, oh, you got a thyroid problem. And it wasn't like, hey, let's look at your testosterone levels. And so like going all the way back, and that was back in 2010. And I think back, I'm like, if that's really what it was, like, and I had that low testosterone then, like, where would I have been as an athlete had I been at the right levels?
Yeah.
And, you know, people always say the same thing is like, fuck, how are you doing what you're doing? And it's just like, honestly, I'm so used to it now that it's just like normal every day, just like get up and grind, and every day is going to be a fucking grind. And it's just fuck. I mean,
man, I was taking naps everywhere I possibly could for 5 minutes. You know, you'd be in your car in the parking lot if you get to work 30 minutes early, I'd be out for 10 minutes and then wake up and get in there 20 minutes early. But it's like a quick nap, going to lunch, ate food, came back, 10 minute nap in the car, back in, you know, like.
And then the brain fog that comes with it, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like it really is. I hit a wall at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon just fucking hits you and you're just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, and you start reaching for things like this and stuff like that, and that'll help. But at the end of the day, it's just not.
And then stuff like that, that seems a little more healthy. But I was drinking 3 monsters a day just trying to keep myself going.
Fucking Red Bulls nonstop. That was like all we could drink, because that was like the only legal energy drink that we were allowed to drink in pro ball.
Really? Who'd you play for?
I was with the Reds.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. What position?
I was a pitcher.
There you go.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, shit, having, you know, you go from somebody that has low T naturally and somebody that has high T naturally. Perform different as an athlete. Like, it's just part of the game, you know. Unfortunately, I don't even know what kind of levels they allow in pro sports anymore, but it's not my world.
Right.
I would assume they allow guys to be at least optimized to a level that everybody's on the same playing field.
I mean, I know for sure can't do any sort of hormone replacement therapy in the UFC. I mean, I believe you can't in any sport, in baseball, they won't allow it. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but. I know for a fact, because the sport that I follow most closely is MMA, and I know for a fact it's not allowed in there, because there was a period of time in the UFC where they did allow it, and it definitely just got way out of hand.
Well, is it Dana White or Joe Rogan? They're talking about opening a league separately that allows optimized athletes?
No, so Rogan had these guys on, and it's called the Enhanced Games.
It's just a tournament type stuff.
So it's like, it's basically going to be kind of like a supplement to the Olympics, and they're going to try to do it every year. I listened to the like 3-hour podcast on it, and then it's not going to be all of the events in the Olympics. I think it's going to be like the track and field. They were going back and forth about it, but it's going to be the track and field sports. So like the running, the throwing. I think swimming, I think there was a handful of other ones. I think they were going to do combat sports like boxing and wrestling, and can't remember what else, but yeah. So basically the whole thought is they can do whatever they want, but they're going to have scientists like backing or like, you know, monitoring everything. So to making sure that the athletes are doing it safely.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be really interesting.
It's going to be wild.
We're going to see, and apparently they're giving like, say it was like $1 million or something for any time a world record is broken.
Oh,
so
sure.
Like if, you know, the world record in the 400 is whatever and the guy beats it, that's $1 million for every event. So any event that's broken or any world record that's broken, supposedly going to be like $1 million payout. But I'm like, I feel like that could get out of hand really quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
Depends. There's a lot of badass world records, though.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. You know, but it'll be super interesting. Like,
care if you're optimized or on every steroid possible. You may be Usain Bolt.
Right. I mean,
you guys are a fucking beast.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe you can.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I want to watch. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to watch.
I'll tell you what, baseball back then.
Oh, gosh.
Was so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for the fans, you know, I don't know about the people playing in it, but like for me, like bring that shit back. Them boys were dropping bombs. And like, here's another thing. Yeah, they could hit the ball far, but that doesn't change your hand-eye coordination. No. Hitting a fastball, curveball, slider, like. those guys were for real hitting those balls. Yeah. You know? So like it takes the skill. They might be able to hit a little farther, but like it's and the pitchers were on them too. So like they were throwing faster and harder and everything.
Well, it helps with recovery. You know, I feel like that's the world that I come from of combat sports. Like I think that's recovery. Right, I mean, well, you're in there, you're getting into a fight every day in the gym pretty much, and your body's getting broken down. And these guys do these 12-week camps before an MMA fight. Like I think it's like 70% of the time they're going in there with some sort of injury.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're taking peptides if the hormone
therapy. Those aren't allowed either. That's one thing I definitely wanted to talk to you about is BPC 157. Is that something you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard that that's being like cracked down on. Is that?
It's big time being cracked on. It's crazy, man. It's like they figured out something that worked, and now their FDA is like, oh, that works. So
for the people that don't know, what is that?
So it's one of the number one healing. Not to me, it's one of the number one healing. Peptides, products, period, on planet Earth. So originally,
the Wolverine supplement.
Wolverine gene. Obviously, everybody knows Wolverine regenerates himself. But it was originally made for gut lining, to fix all their gut problems. Because obviously, not all, but a ton of our problems and illnesses, sicknesses, cancers, and everything comes from your gut. Like it controls so much of your body. If you don't know much about your gut, go learn about it.
Yeah.
Like it controls so much. So it was fixing a lot of your gut injuries. Well, then they learned that like it fixed all injuries. They snapped a bunch of rats' backs and they started injecting with it, and the rats' backs fused back together. They're like, shit. Okay.
And they do something with like the rats' like Achilles too. They like, snap their Achilles and like
they did a bunch. It was like, you think about abuse for rats, but
is. But that
New York City rats are fucked up anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I would say the number one negative side effect, or not negative side effect, but negative
stigma.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Negative stigma that there is no like human testing on it. Right. There's not a lot of research done on humans, but like, clearly I think there's been a lot of people that it's definitely helped.
Tons. And honestly, the amount of stuff that's done for people, there's not been side effects. There's not been anything that's come out of it. So there's not been peer reviewed set up studies a lot done that, but like the amount of people that have taken over the last 3 to 5 years is millions and millions and millions, and all those people aren't coming back with any type of side effects, anything that's happening at that point. I had a major back surgery about 18 months ago, and Doc, hopefully you're not watching this, but I took BPC 157 for about first 4 months after the surgery. I had my wife at the time, she was injecting in the muscle right next to my injury. So I had L4, L5, and L5, S1 replaced, full discectomy, taken out, taken in.
Bro.
And I fell through a dock at the Lake of the Ozarks at 37 years old and turned down the surgery for a long time. But eventually I couldn't even shit anymore. Like my leg would shake.
Fell through a dock?
Fell through a dock. Walking back to our boat and the dock collapsed beneath my feet. Walking down the dock.
Gosh.
Broke my elbow, broke my ankle, basically broke my back.
Like into the water? Or were you like?
No, I was caught in rebar. Actually, and like I have my whole leg got scraped down to the bone, and I was like basically knocked out, and it came up. My friend's like, you all right? I was like, well, you guys are right. In my head at the time, like you don't just fall through a dock. I thought a boat hit the dock and like more people went in, and like the dock collapsed or caved or something like that. I thought it was something else. I was like, no, you just fell through. Just
rotted and just stepped through it.
Correct. And so it came back, and about 4 years later, I had back surgery from it. Scared, like I was so scared to have this back surgery. So scared.
You hear all these horror stories of people that never come back from them, or they're changed forever.
100%. So I took BPC 157. Doc's like, man, you're healing at like a 99 percentile rate of anybody I've ever had. What are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I'm just following protocol.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, which I was. I took it very seriously. And shout out to Taylor Summers. She
me too.
She
I've used her.
Well. She coached me back to life. And besides just my body, like mentally, I was fucking depressed, dude. I was like, when I first got to her, I laid on my back and just brought my knees up. My whole body was shaking. She's like, don't worry about it. We'll get you back. But in my head, when I left that day, I was so defeated that I couldn't do anything. And then, I worked with her 3 days a week for 24 weeks, 20, 24 weeks, something like that. And man, she changed. She brought me back. I have yet to have a back pain. I'm doing things I never thought I was going to do again. I'm back on the ice coaching, shooting. Doc said I can ride a Sea-Doo, can snowboard. He's like, anything you can think you can do. It's in there. He goes, you honestly might have healed faster than anybody I've ever had. He said, keep taking care of yourself. But I was taking BPC 157, and it's a miracle. Like, it really is.
Now, what's the protocol for it?
Once a day, you can take 10 IUs, 20, 30.
Into the site?
Into the site.
Okay.
Correct. You know, so just, obviously, you're trying to heal faster. You take the most.
Sure.
It's not going to harm you at that point. If you have multiple injuries, you know, take 10 in that, 10 in that, 10 in wherever. You know, and for your gut-wise, I recommend people just taking it in general for that.
Orally for that gut? Or
injection. There is oral stuff.
I've heard that's not as good.
The absorption rate or anything. So. Yeah, anything. Anything you take in, right, the absorption rate's not going to be the same. Any injectable be the best case scenario for you. Sure. I mean, I've had meniscus injuries that I took it for. There's so many things that I've taken it for, and so many people that have come to us to take it, they're like, my business partner, Jason, his right knee was messed up, clicking, doing all types of stuff. He couldn't squat no more, couldn't do anything anymore. He was going to get an MRI. Well, he started taking this within 60 days. He was back squatting again, doing anything. He hasn't had a knee problem since then. Now, there was probably some tear in there at that point. You know, he never got it looked at. We don't know. I'm guessing, you know, but you can't squat. There's something wrong, you know. So, and he's back in the game. There's no knee problems after that.
We're going to talk after.
It's good stuff, man. It's really good stuff. But yeah, so back to what you said, like, you know, the compounding pharmacies make it, but now the FDA reclassified being able to make it in bulk. What they're going to eventually do is what we think they're going to do is they're going to take it, they're going to move it over to Big Pharma, and you're going to see Pfizer's got BPC-157, Mallinckrodt's got BPC-157. It hasn't happened yet, but usually anything that the FDA is like, let's go over here.
Take this. So how can we make money on this?
Exactly. Right. We want to make money on this too, because them big companies are paying those guys over there. That's an assumption. I don't know for a fact, but you can see the process and the trail happening right now. Like you really do, which is a pain in the ass, but
right.
We could still get it. We get it through labs and other stuff like that. So we can still get the product. They just made it harder and more expensive. Done.
So unfortunate.
Yeah.
A bummer.
Well, and you're going to see that there's, you know, there's so many peptides on the market right now. You can find a peptide for almost anything.
Yeah,
peptides are the way of the future. It's preventative medicine, right? Yeah. It really is. It prevents you from injuries, help you with sleep. For hair growth, for, you know, there's so much stuff with peptides. You're going to see when more of them start working, you're going to see the same shit keep happening over and over again, you know?
So for the people out there that don't know, what exactly is a peptide?
Well, you have a bunch of peptides in your body, different amino acids and things like that. So, your body naturally have most of these. You naturally have most of these in your body at that point.
Producing more of them.
Correct. Essentially. You know, and optimizing them too. You know, like your HGH peptides. It's human growth hormone stuff. So it's a secretion in your human growth hormone. You know, you got tesamorelin, somorelin, CJC dual blend. Hypermorelin. There's a bunch of different HGH peptides. It's not like taking your true human growth hormone, right? Like it's not shutting that, not doing that. So when people take it, hear an HGH peptides, people freak out like it's gonna destroy your whole body. That's not the case. It's helping with adding more of it to your body the right way and the proper way out there. But there are so many different peptides out there. It's crazy. I mean, you have different peptides that are now coming in like. Skincare products. You know, there's a lot of high end skincare products that are actually adding different peptide brands and stuff like that inside their skincare to help with moisturizing your skin, your hair, your nails. Like I said, hair growth is going to be a very big peptide market that's coming out pretty soon too, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
I could use some of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you see, like, I think
there's 7,000 peptides in your body, something like that.
Okay. And do you guys work with all the different peptides, or is there specific ones that you guys are focusing in on?
Yeah, no, there's right now we have about 10 that we have in there. Okay. I mean, we have a peptide, melanotan, that makes you tan. It make you tan. It's crazy.
Even me?
Yeah. No, literally. It will make you tan. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Then you got TB500, which is another BPC-157. It's a healing peptide. You usually take them together and it can help heal you out there. You know, the BPC-157, TB, tesamorelin, somorelin, hypermorelin. We're looking to expand that side of our business a whole lot. You know, I want to have a more understanding of some of the new ones coming out, and make sure that they're a right fit for what we're doing. You know, cause again, I'm not in the business of hair growth, but if it's something that might help our patients out, you know, I might have it in there, but you know, there's going to be a lot of those stuff that we leave for med spas and other places like that that go down those roads, but Yeah, it's going to be a market that the big farmers are getting really scared of, I guarantee it.
Crazy. Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, it's so cool that you guys are doing this. As far as testosterone therapy, like what, I guess let's go on that, because I'm sure there's a lot of like misconceptions, or at least that I hear of when it comes to TRT. Like, what would you say are like some of the biggest like pushbacks that you get?
That I'm going to have to take this the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is you are, you know, you, if you stop taking it, you're going to just go back to where you were. But now if you were 5 years deep, 3 years deep, well, your testosterone level is going to be lower anyway. So it's going to go to where it was going to go down to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a choice that you make to feel better. And when you feel better at that point, you're not going to want to stop. So it is something that you are going to have to continue on taking to make sure that you feel optimized at that level.
Isn't it something like your body, once you start injecting it, your body just stops producing it altogether because it's coming from somewhere else?
Well, but we also have different things that you can take along with it that keeps your sperm count up and keeps your testosterone rolling on that side. You know, you got Clomid, HCG that you can take along with it to help counteract that stuff on that side. But right when you stop, you know, you take a post, one of those things, you could take an HCG or Clomid and kickstart right back up.
So this isn't like a cycle, like with steroids, you're on a cycle. You're sticking to it every
sticking
day,
to it.
All day, like every, okay.
Yep, you're sticking to it. I take twice a week. There's some people that microdose it every day. Some people take one shot a week. Some people take two shots a week. Everybody's body metabolizes testosterone different. Everybody's mm-hmm. body metabolizes food different, right? Mm-hmm. So it metabolizes it different in your body. That's where your peaks and valleys come from. You know, you have three different types of testosterone, enanthate, cyprinate, propionate. They all have different half-lives. You know, half-life is how fast it kills inside your, like stops inside your body. So we use cyprinate at ours. It's got a little longer half-life, so you don't have as many peaks and valleys if it's one shot. If you start having them, we recommend people to take them two shots. But everybody's different. You know, that's the one thing about certain clinics that tell you, like, it's this way, it's this amount, this is the number. That's all bullshit. Everybody's body is different. If I feel good at 1,100 and you feel great at 900, we could possibly feel literally the exact same, yeah. Just my body's a little different than yours. Mm-hmm. I might need a little more. I might need a little less. You know, everybody's different. So there's no protocol that's the exact same. We start them at a certain point, find out what those numbers are, find out how they feel, and you start adjusting, like, 12 weeks later.
I was going to say, what's that process like, going through all that and getting tested and finding out where you're at and what dosage, just correct them out?
So we start people, we start them whatever the nurse practitioner wants to start them at. But come in, get your blood work done, low T, start you at a certain number. We take your we take a blood lab again in 12 weeks. We find out where your testosterone level's at and how you're feeling. You know, at that point, we're going to know if you need estrogen blockers, if you have sensitivity, if you have high estrogen, low estrogen, because testosterone is a direct reflection of estrogen. You know, it produces more, produces less based on how your body is. So we'll figure out what that is and how you're feeling, and then we'll make adjustments to your protocol from there. I can't tell you any number because
everybody's
know.
Different.
Yeah. You know, she might move you down to 175 from 200. She might move you up to 250, you know, like just really what those are. And it's all about how you feel. That's the number one question we do. Well, how do you feel? You know, because people study labs too much and think they know what they're talking about. At the end of the day, it's truly how somebody feels.
So you guys have an in-house nurse practitioner, or is it just ones around the St. Louis area that you prefer or recommend?
Every location has a nurse practitioner.
Awesome.
Now, is there ways that you could like naturally increase your testosterone without TRT or like supplements or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not even going to go down the road. Yeah, you could do. Yes, you could be eating some foods and you could take a supplement from some superstore that might move you like 30, 40 points, but that's not changing. So to me, the answer is no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably a pushback that you guys get. Is there ways that I would imagine that there are ways that I could do this without having to
inject myself
TRT.
Yeah.
Now, what are some? I mean, coming across like what are reasons that people have low testosterone? Or like, there's things that why someone may have low testosterone?
I mean, you know, thyroid issues could be one of them. But I mean, at this point, it's our food, it's the plastics, it's what we're eating, it's what we're taking in. You know, it's all from our gut, all coming from what we're intaking. Like my dad, he came in and he had one of the highest testosterone levels I've ever seen. He's like 75 years old when he got tested. Wow. I was like, holy cow. Like his level was so high that I was like, Dad, are you like taking shots I don't know about?
Yeah, you know? What are you doing?
Right. But back then, you know, they're eating. They're even when people say something's organic,
it's really not.
Sprayed with shit.
It's sprayed with shit. You know, 100%. And back then it wasn't. You know, my dad's 75, so you got to think from when he was old enough to be eating steak till he's 60 years old, 50 years old. Right. Like the meat and the food and everything that was going in his body was good. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff. It was coming from farms and all that stuff. And now it's just shit. You know what? And it sucks too, because I'm so guilty of it. You know, even making home cooked meals, my daughter loves McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's times I'm just getting her chicken nuggets from McDonald's and I get done. She gets done eating and I get so pissed off at myself,
right,
because I made myself something else, but she didn't want to eat it. She wanted to eat her McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm just like, I want to make her happy, but I'm not doing her any injustice either, you know, because that's going to affect her body later on down the road. Right. I know it's going to.
Oh, we were doing it yesterday. Like, I mean, Gino taking the boys home. She's like, I'm just going to stop and get him Chick-fil-A. He just eats it so much better. You know, and we're like, it's just, just having him eat something is better than him not eating, you know, but we do the same thing.
Yeah, so same.
I'm right there. Same right with there too. With you. You know, I did pull up some studies last night just in preparation for this, but on average, there was a study done in 2007. The average testosterone levels of men have decreased 1% since the 1980s.
Yeah.
1% per year.
That's crazy. Think about that.
Let's go back and look at what happened in these. I mean, it's just more and more like of these vaccinations that they're requiring us to take, things like that. But yeah, it's like, like you said, changes
1% per year. I didn't know that stat.
Yeah,
1%
right here,
per year. I mean, think about
study
it.
Published
that since I was born. I was born in 81. I don't know how old you guys.
93.
Jesus. All right, so old man here. It's all right. I feel good. You know, I'm 42. But 24%, 23% since I've been born, it's gone down in the average male. That's 1/4 of the. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it says right here, a study published out of the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism in 2007. Crazy. But no,
that is a very sad stat.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Good for your business, though.
It is. It's great for our business, you know, but like it sucks for mankind.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks
absolutely.
For us as a species.
Whole. Like, we want more people in, but here's another thing. People aren't being self-aware that they actually have those problems. So then you have the fight back, the pushes that you're talking about all the time. Instead of people just saying, holy shit, I read a stat like that. I need to go check. They're like, holy shit, I read a stat like that. That ain't true. That ain't me. That's not really happening. I don't want to take testosterone. That means I'm taking steroids. You know,
that
stigma is breaking, but it's still there.
Yeah.
And when you hear a stat like that, you're like, it makes me want to give the whole state or everybody in St. Louis free labs. Like, come see me because I promise you need this.
Right.
Well, that's the thing is like, I mean, this, I didn't really start having this conversation until probably about a year and a half ago, maybe. And since then, it's like, I don't know, you know, you got your reticular activator in your brain where you like start talking about something, then you start hearing it more and more, or like you see something, like you're thinking about something, you start seeing it more and more. But I feel like the conversation around having low testosterone has just grown. Especially within the last year since I like really started looking into it and trying to get this figured out, that, I mean, I think more and more people are starting to have that conversation and starting to look into it. And I think it's great. I mean, obviously that'll help optimize our species as a whole.
Yeah.
And, but you know, it's insane that to hear a stat like that.
Well, and you know, it also goes back to manhood. That's part of this thing is about like, how do you feel? You can't feel like a man, like a true man, like I'm a man, and, you know, I've got a beard and I'm tough and I'm confident when you're 23% lower than you should have been if you were born in the 60s and 30 years old at that point. Like, you know, those guys felt like barbarians, like men. And now everybody you see in society is going like this and, you know, and not no politics, not no weird shit. Like that's just men aren't as men they were before. Men aren't who they are before.
It's a lot of things too. I think it's our food. I think it's the fact, I think you mentioned plastics and stuff. I think that has a huge, I mean, there's some other studies that have gone on. Dr. Shanna Swan came up with this book called The Countdown, but it's all about reduced sperm counts it's like, I think I got another stat here about sperm counts, but that's dropping rapidly as well. And her whole thing is, and it's doing the same thing in animals too, or how they differentiate between male and female, like rats, when they're looking at it, is the space between the genitals and the rectum. And so apparently female rats, that space is much smaller. Males, it's a lot longer. And as a species, our taints are shrinking.
No shit.
Yeah. And they think it's because of the phthalates that are in plastics.
Yeah.
If you look at all of our food, everything that we eat is covered in plastic.
Yep.
I mean, look on this table. I mean, plastic. I mean, plastic. It's everywhere. And, you know, it's everything's covered in plastic. And I mean, if you look back 100 years ago, that was not the case.
No.
And that's a big difference. And I mean, something that we can obviously see. I mean, look at water bottles and our shampoo, everything's cans. I mean, you know, all these things, it's like everything's covered in plastics, and it's like all that shit's leaching out and getting into our bodies.
Yep.
And, you know, it's obviously having some sort of effect on us, and it's slowly over time, and really not that slowly. I mean, if we look at the course of the last 50 years, how much things have changed.
Even further, your shampoos, your soaps, you know, when you're in the shower, your skin, it's absorbing in your body, you know, all that stuff is adding on to it, just stacking on top of it.
Yeah.
Because
you have a bottle of water in your car, and you come in and drink it. You know, it's not even just the bottle of
water, but just the water in general that we're drinking.
Yeah, all of it. You know, and everybody got these conspiracies like they're trying to kill us. I don't think it has anything to do with they're trying to kill us. I think people are trying to find ways to make things cheaper because the cost to be a human being is going fucking through the roof. Yeah. So every company's trying to find directions and angles to bring it in cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And that's causing that direction to go the other way. I don't truly believe, and some people can call me crazy, I don't really believe our government's actually trying to kill us. I think I think Big Pharma might be trying to kill us, in which they're directly connected to it. But I don't think the plastic thing was done on purpose.
No, I think it was like, oh, this is a convenience. So this looks nice. Oh, this is sanitary.
Correct.
That's where I think it stemmed from. But then we're just too far down the rabbit hole, and that's how things are done.
Exactly. You know? Now there's no reversing it. We're stuck. Yeah. Like, this shit ain't going nowhere. We're not getting rid of plastic. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, we're not going to just show up to the grocery store and people are just barehanding, you know, everything.
And
you
your meat that's getting injected all day long, like, that's going to keep happening to make meat in bulk because you have so many people that don't have a lot of money that can't afford to go to Deer Burgers or your high-end places to get actually decent meat, which is still fucked up, but it's decent meat, you know?
Right.
You're buying this Tyson chicken because you got three or four kids and you're barely paying your bills and they got to eat. So like there's always going to be a need for that. And we're so fucking deep that we can't, there's no going back.
It helps it last longer. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, if you're getting it and it's all natural, like it was back and then, I mean, you had to eat it the day that you got it. And then that's one of the thing too, is like the taking away from the family aspect of it. Everybody's wanting that immediate gratification on things and all that, but like sitting down to a home cooked meal isn't something that's really happening anymore.
You're not
really hearing about it or seeing it. Like, it's just one of those things. I mean, and I'm at fault with my kid, with my kids, you know,
all the time.
It's like you want your kids to eat, and like my kids are picky. They're 5 and 6 years old. They're only going to eat certain things. So it's like, all right, well, I guess we just keep feeding them certain things so they can at least get something in.
Yeah, the only time me and my daughter fight was over food. And I'm like, she won the battle. And now she's 11, she's in sixth grade. Like, yeah, I can tell her what to eat when I cook a meal, but like, eat your food. But the reality is, in sixth grade, I was eating what I wanted anyway.
Right.
Like, you know what you want. Yeah. You know, you're on your way to high school. Like, mom, dad, shut the fuck up. I'm going to eat what I'm going to eat. Now, if they cook me a meal, I better eat that son of a bitch. But but the other reality, like you said, home-cooked meals. Like, my daughter on Monday, I have her Monday and Tuesday and every other weekend. Monday, she's got voice lessons and piano lessons at 7. Tuesday, she's got soccer practice at 5:15 to 7 o'clock, and she's got to come home and do homework. Thursday, she's got soccer practice at 5:15, come home and do homework. She's got games all weekend. So, like, now I'm making excuses for myself. But the reality is we don't have time to sit down because, like, life's moving too fast. If I want her to be any good at soccer, she's got to go to practice 2 to 3 days a week or she's going to be left in the dust. She might as well not even play soccer because she's going to be so mad she can't compete because everybody else is out there doing it.
Right.
Piano, if you're not doing it as much as you can possibly do it, then you're getting left in the dust and you're just going to give up because you're like, it's not working. I'm just going to toss in the towel and this stuff. So you got to continuously practice and do things over again, which leaves no time for the rest of the stuff in your life that you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's snowballing. It's affecting our kids, their sleep patterns, what they think, how they operate. And it sucks because I don't know how else to change it because I want my daughter to be successful at soccer. I want her to be successful at piano. I want her to be successful at school. And I got to figure out a way as a dad, and this is on me, to give her the other side of it, the home-cooked meals, the nutrition, the routines, you know, the processes and stuff like that, that I know for a fact that I'm failing as a father.
Yeah,
it's because life's moving fast for me,
right.
And it sucks.
Well, I guess, but we are lucky that we do have a couple pretty good, like, clean eat companies. Like you got Clean Eats and then you have Fit Flavors and things like that. That
man, my daughter would never eat that.
No,
really,
really. My Hell boys,
no. my son will eat my Fit Flavors when I'm eating it. That's because I'm eating it. That's the only reason.
Right. You know what? I tried. Cheese. Yeah. Fuck no.
my youngest loves the cheeseburger bowl. He will smash.
Really?
So I will just I'll pick up extra cheeseburger bowls for him. You know, it's.
I actually just assumed that she wouldn't, because anytime I make one, she looks at me like I'm crazy and goes straight to toasted ravioli or chicken nuggets and stuff in the freezer. But I need to figure that out. I need to try a couple and be like, hey, try this.
Yeah, there's a couple really good ones at Fit Flavors that, you know, like the breaded chicken and au gratin potatoes. It's like really a piece of breaded chicken and like some cheesy potatoes.
It comes with green beans. It comes with green the vegetable beans. Green beans.
Yeah. I need to try that.
Cheeseburger bowl
is rice, ground beef.
Back to me, assuming we know what that does. You
know? No, check out Fit Flavors. They're pretty great. And
Jillian's a good friend. She's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Fit Flavors.
Fit Flavors is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was something it's really helped me, especially because of macros, like getting in with a nutritionist and Matt working on my macros and getting all that stuff taken care of. It's all pretty pre-packaged, and then you know we had some of the girls from Fit Flavors on here, and they were talking about their process about how
who was it
Abby and Maddie.
Okay,
so the two girls that Jillian does her podcast with, they came on and were talking about the behind the scenes stuff, but like they're anal about their portion sizes, like everything is to a T. So what you're getting is the exact same no matter what meal you're buying, and it's all macroed out to what it is that you either the macro count is accurate. Yeah. And so it definitely helps, especially for being on the go and things like that for healthy meals. And they've got so many, and their meals rotate every quarter or every so often.
Yeah, it's about to change again. Yeah, yeah. And they only use three oils in their kitchen, which I like. They only use olive, avocado, and coconut, which is cool.
Isn't it crazy too that to think we have such shit food now, but we have so much knowledge about the body now. Like, think about it, like, this knowledge was with the old generation had great food, and it had great knowledge of the body. You'd have fucking superhumans running around here.
Right.
Like, well, macros, we didn't know anything about macros 25 years ago. No. Somebody did, but they weren't talking about it.
No. You know? No. Well, I feel like we're starting to go the other direction a little bit.
I think
you know?
Since
like,
COVID, I think I've been seeing it. Maybe
you know,
it's just,
I feel like people are way more conscious about shit.
They gotta
be. They have to. I mean, because, well, I mean, so many people just don't know, you know? Yeah. I don't think it's them, I don't fuck about what I eat. I just don't think they know. You know? I think that's what it is more than anything.
Well, COVID scared the shit out of people because they're like, hey, if you're obese, you're gonna die.
Yeah. Right.
They weren't like, hey, you might die. They're like,
you're going to die.
Right. Yeah.
So like I'm almost not even mad at the scare that happened because like people started paying attention to it at the end of the day.
I mean, looking back at COVID for me personally, it was one of the best things like it changed my life. It was a big turning point in my life. I got out of what I was doing at the time and got into real estate, and like everything just started moving in a more positive direction for me. And I know that there's a lot of other people like that out there that are like that too.
So, I agree. And I'll tell you what, I was telling somebody this the other day, you know, a lot of people, a lot of people will tell you like it was designed to take out the population and all this other stuff. You know what I think COVID was, if it was a design, who the fuck knows, right? I think it was designed to be able to put people online so you can track people online better. Cause you know, everybody's life before COVID, after COVID, how much every dollar transactions, there's no more cash transactions anymore. Your social media, all your invoicing and estimates, everything's done through CRMs. It's all digital. Like it turned our whole entire universe to being trackable online is what I think. If it was designed, it was defined to be able to trace people around the world the way they're doing.
Makes sense. I mean,
it's amazing how people don't accept cash. I mean,
I remember I went to a
Cardinals game.
It was $100. I don't accept it.
Cash is where I come from. Cash is king. Right. You know, like, that was the saying.
Yeah.
I was at a Cardinals game recently, and I just completely forgot that they went cashless, and I took out money.
Cardinals game is cashless.
Cashless. Even the people walking around.
I didn't know that.
What are you passing your card down the line? Like
they're coming to you, and they have the.
I didn't think about that. If you're sitting in your seat, you're literally passing your credit card down the line. I guess that's wild.
I don't like that. Oh. You know? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, they're actually like
beer guys hate it too.
They're actually like coming.
For sure. They got to touch all. Yeah. Dude. And I bet they're making less tip and everything. Yeah. You know? Like, how often do you just give someone the change? You know, like give the guy the change just because you
keep
don't want
it.
Yeah. Just keep it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's none of that.
Yeah. Like the one guy that, like, so I had he was walking around selling beer, and my youngest heard lemonade, but he was selling vodka lemonade. I'm like, buddy, you can't. He's like, He's like, no, does he want a lemonade? He's like, I'll be right back. And this dude ran. He ran off and went and got my kid a lemonade, came back, and I went to give him cash. He goes, no, we're card only too. And I was like, well, do you accept cash tips? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, well, perfect, here. And threw the money and the cash that I was going to give him for the drink. I'm just like, take this as the tip. Here's my card. Yeah. Because it's just insane that they're getting rid of cash. Like,
you know what I took out of that, though, is, man, there's good people.
Oh, yeah, for absolutely. Sure. This dude, for it was sure. awesome.
Like, that's a cool story that he is. Went and took off to get your kid something. Like, yeah, yeah. In the middle of a Cardinals game when he could have turned to the next aisle to yep. try right. to sell more beer.
Yep. Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's that's good cool. people all over the place. I love that.
And that's the thing, too, is like, I mean, there's, like you said, there's good and bad. But I feel like we're starting to see a shift in the type of people and the goodness in people since COVID as well.
I agree. So, I agree. You know, I think there's been a big shift there.
Being isolated from people for so long and all that, I think people are having more of had a realization of like the importance of having good people in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, for as bad as COVID was, I do think there was quite a bit of positive that came from it. You know, like you were saying.
I do too.
So,
I mean, a lot of businesses flourished. There was a lot of business went under, but there was a lot of businesses that took off like rocket ships.
Yeah. Well, and you might have said it at the beginning of the show, but when did New Age start? Or when did you guys open up?
So
was it right around that time?
No, it was 2022. Okay. So it was May 31st, 2022. When we started. It's the doors open at the Duke Clinic. But yeah, so almost 2.5 years we're in business.
Incredible, man. I'm sorry.
And we're rocking.
And to see that's you guys awesome, as a rocket congratulations. Ship. Now you've got like, yeah. you guys have a partnership with First Form and all these other things that you guys have been able to do. It's just so cool.
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah. All our franchises will carry all First Form's products. Anything that's not in a certain mile radius around an S2 or in a territory that's got like the exclusivity.
The Gulf Shores one or something, maybe.
Yeah, no, he'll carry the entire first line of First Form products.
That's awesome.
Yeah, top to bottom, anything that he wants to carry inside there. Awesome. You know, we already carry their bars, energy drinks, all our apparel is all First Form. So our staff, our T-shirts, everything we wear, we have a co-branded app with them that, you know, we encourage anybody for medical weight loss to download the app. We have our own community that we set different contests and stuff like that inside there. First Form's app is unbelievable to track macros, to do your workouts, to do all that stuff. So
yeah,
those guys over there are great. I have a lot of friends in that building. And yeah, for sure. And it's just a natural connection.
Makes sense. Absolutely. And I mean, that's the thing too, is like their product, I think, is one of the few ones that allowed to be taken with baseball. I mean, obviously I have a background in baseball, but they did the NSF certified for sports stuff.
Yeah, they did.
And
they just did that not too long ago too.
Right. And so like, you know what you're getting in, you're getting exactly what is on that label with that NSF certified for sport. And that's why it was probably one of the smartest things I could do, because they probably have a monopoly on professional baseball now, because you can only take products that say NSF certified for sport.
And I didn't know that until about 6 months ago. I just got educated on that. That they, for one, that they took the leap and did that, and two, that was a thing. I didn't, you know, because I don't live in the pro sports world. I do in hockey, but those guys are fucking animals. You know?
Right?
They're my guys that are pro players are just, they're a different breed. You know, so like, you don't start asking what kind of protein you're taking, buddy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't really know that was a thing in there. And I learned about it, and I was like, oh, shit. So that takes 80% of the companies off the market, that they can't do that, because it's very expensive to, for one, make sure your products have that, to get the certification and continuously keep a certification and continue to have the testing and all the stuff that goes along with it.
Because that's the thing is, like, when they make a batch of something, that whole thing has to be completely re-cleaned and sterilized, and just the amount of cost that it would take before they could move on and make the same,
and they have to prove the batch test too.
Yeah, and it's insane, but
it's like a pharmacy.
But yeah, basically, you are getting the cleanest, best products if you're buying a product that's NSF certified for sport.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
well, one other thing you mentioned that I wanted to ask about, because I'm not really sure what it is, but the medical weight loss that you guys do, what is that?
So the new crave, or no craze, not crave. You know. Ozempic, Wegovy, which is semaglutide, which is the main peptide inside those different things. Then you got tirzepatide, which is Mounjaro.
Yep.
It's originally made for diabetic
weight
loss, obese people medication, you know, because back to it lowers your A1C, but it's also preventative too. Some people get proved to be on it from their doctors so that they don't end up coming down with
diabetes.
Yeah. So it's, they're both powerful weight loss medication. You know, there's a lot of stigma around, should people take it? Should people not take it? If it's something that somebody, so let me back up. We take that drug very, very seriously. Okay. We follow the BMI standards that you have when you're on that. If you go below, we take you off the medication. Because there's a lot of things that can happen to your stomach. There's a lot of things that can happen to a lot of your body that you stay on that medication, you can start getting hurt, you know, some bad stomach problems, other things that come along with it, pancreas problems. So we make sure that we follow the protocols from the doctors the very, very best that we possibly can. There's a lot of places out there that don't. You know, we make you take your labs. We make you take your labs at 6 months. We make sure that we keep paying attention to what your labs are showing you. You have a lot of med spas out there that are just doing a money grab. And they're just giving this medication to anybody. They're not taking BMIs. They're not taking their labs. And they're just saying, oh, you want it? Cool. Here's the product. That's bad. Yeah. It's bad for our industry. It's a bad stigma. It's bad for health. You know, there's people that should not be taking this drug, and they're taking it. And, you know,
they want that quick fix.
Body morphia, dysmorphia. Yeah. They're taking it because they think they need to be skinny. We went through this, like, when we were younger, girls loved to be skinny. And then, you know, being in shape and thick came back. And, like, coming skinny is coming back, which I don't think it should come back like that.
No.
You know, it's not like, that's not a thing. But I do believe if you're overweight, you're obese, you know, the definition of obese is pretty, you know, sometimes you're like, you're not obese, but that's
still. I'm obese, according to my doctor.
Correct. And a lot of people, you're like, you're not obese, you're just overweight.
Yeah.
You know, if you need the help to get that boost, to drop 30 pounds, to get you in a gym, I am all for it. I think the drug is unbelievable for that. And we've seen so many people that have excelled and become different human beings and lost 90 to 100 pounds. Their first 30, they weren't working out. Then the next 30, they're walking 5 miles a day. The next 30, they're going to the gym. The next 30, they might, you know, I know some people ran a marathon that dropped 90 pounds. And now they're running marathons from in our clinic. You're like, that's the point. That's why you should do it, you know. These med spas are going to start fucking people up.
And it's just like anything like that. I mean, it's meant for a specific type of person.
Yeah.
It's not meant for everybody, but I feel like everyone like, oh, I'm getting on Ozempic and like really fucking need it.
Right.
I think the biggest negative like side effect or issue that I see with it is a lot of people that seem to take it don't do the gym part. And they just take it and they want that magic pill or that magic injection to make them feel better and lose some weight. But you know, when you start losing weight, you're going to lose muscle as well. And kind of get that kind of skinny fat look
where you're
losing weight and you're losing weight in all the wrong places. And if you ever were to stop taking that Ozempic and gain the weight back, now you're going to be probably in a worse spot than you were, you're going to be in a worse spot than you were before because you even have less muscle now.
Yeah. You know? So what you just said right here, encourage an entire new charge that we have going on. So we've been partnering with every gym possible in St. Louis, Missouri, close to one of our locations. So, you know, Force Performance, Optimal Movement, Faster Fitness, F45, different locations, F45, Clean Eats, Fit Flavors, you know, like there's a Ready Fitness, BFT, Red Fitness Lounge, Hot Works, Orange Theory. So when we go, and we basically, when you sign up for testosterone, medical weight loss, whatever you're doing, sit down with a nurse practitioner. By then, you get a welcome packet. Inside your welcome packet, now we have flyers, guest passes, everything to these fitness facilities inside there. You know, F for Faster Fitness, you can get 28 days inside there for $28. You know, we're making them give a special to our patients because I want them to use it. So they sit down and then they say, okay, here's your protocol, but here's a toolbox of fitness stuff. Here's an app with First Form. Here's a place that's giving you 3 personal training sessions for $99. Go do this. Go try this. So we want our people to go to fitness facilities, to go to Clean Eats, to go to Fit Flavors, you know, get their meals, do their stuff, get a personal training session, get your body moving and get going. And we're going to continue to do that across the United States of America. Every franchise, that's a requirement. There needs to be 5 gyms around you partner with, get them in your welcome packet, and they're going to, and on the flip side of it, it's good marketing because you're going to be inside their welcome packet. If you're, you know, every patient that comes through the door, they're getting a guest pass from it. Well, on the other side, when they're signing up at the gym, they're getting a cheaper blood work or something that's coming over here, come get a B12 shot for free or whatever the case may be to get them our doors as well. But honestly, we didn't even do it the for the other side to get people in our place, because people are coming. We did it to get our patients inside there to be healthier, and it's just reciprocating coming the other way. But it started that charge, and we're never going to stop, because what you just said, a lot of people just taking a shot. We were like, here's a toolbox. Let's go get healthy together, you know, and we're following up with them too. We're making sure that they're doing it. And the people are coming back to us, man, it was a great training session, man. It was awesome doing this. And it's cool to watch that stuff.
Well, it just shows that you guys care. Like you're connecting with these people instead of just being one of those med spas that are like, hey, here you go. And not following up or doing anything. Like, you guys are taking it to the next step and like making it personal and making those people feel more like, that's just good. That's being good people and good for business.
Yeah. So for sure. I mean, the whole point of getting behind this thing is to help people. And we do have products in there that if you don't do it the right way, can fuck you up, you know? So we want to make sure we're always doing it the right way. It doesn't matter. We're not going to break from the right way. And fitness, I don't look at myself as being in the medical field. When I started this business, that's why I told our partners, I don't look at it that we're in the medical field. We are. We're medical all day long. We're a doctor's office. But I think we're in the fitness industry. That's where my mindset comes from, because that's what I come from. I come from the fitness industry. I come from running gyms. I come from being a coach. I come from playing college hockey. I come from boxing. Like, to me, I'm fitness, and this business to me is just an extension of fitness. We help a lot of people medically, but also medical stuff gets fixed by fitness. Yeah. You take care of yourself. You eat right. You know, you start feeling better and feeling healthier, and the rest of your life changes. Yeah. The rest of your life changes. You don't see a lot of fit people that are pissed off all the time, you know, that are tired of this or that, you know. Yeah, does it happen? Of course, it's life. We're human beings. Right. But it's not the same as the ones that are out of shape. The people who are out of shape are the ones complaining about the joints hurting, their bones hurting, you know, a mental fog, all this other stuff. It's coming from that. It's not coming from the healthy people taking care of themselves. So I look at us as in the fitness industry, for sure.
That's awesome.
So also one thing I wanted to ask. So, you know, I feel like when you think of health and wellness centers and clinics and stuff, you generally think like most of the patients would be male. But is that the case with you guys? You guys help a lot of females as well.
Like, ton. What are they coming in with
as far as like issues that they're dealing with most often?
Yeah, back to what I was saying, that we built this thing to be a journey for both. I'd say we're probably 60% female, 55% female. Okay. Now, it depends on the location, but, you know, the numbers vary. But women need hormone therapy too.
Yeah.
You know, you got menopause. You got postpartum depression from all that stuff. I mean, we're always like, she's going through her period. She's hormonal. She's crazy. You know, they're going through menopause. She's hormonal. She's crazy. Well, yeah. So guys, girls, and their hormones are off. They're all, everybody's crazy, you know? And we help women all the time. Like, it's a big, big part. You know, our staff loves and takes pride in that stuff on there. So I'd say we have just as many women on hormone therapy as we do men. And we have just as men on medical weight loss as we do women. You know, like it's a pretty even split on it. And we do a really good job as a company promoting that, making sure we're not just known for men, you know. And no offense to any other companies that have man in their name, you know, like you can go through and name a bunch of them right now in just the local market that they say, you know.
Yeah. I can think of a couple. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. They do a great job, but, you know, there's
50% of the population you're missing.
Right. Taking right off the table. Yeah. But now what they're doing is they're figuring out that they did that and they're treating women. But, you know, nobody they don't want to go in a place that's for men.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. But, man, women need this just as much as men, by far, you know, and just as much as in saving a marriage. When a woman's hormones are corrected, she's happy too. Her husband's happy. She's happy. And the marriage is back to happy, you know. Yeah. So it goes both ways. He can't be optimizing. She feels like shit. Right. You know, they need to do it together. And, women need it just as much as men do.
So now are you getting women, or a lot of women on, like, testosterone? Or what is specifically? Yeah, okay.
For sure. Testosterone directly affects your estrogen level, your estradiol level. You know, again, it's everybody's different. You know, so you experiment on amounts and how it raises it and how it lowers it and stuff like that. But that's how we change an estrogen level, too, is by your testosterone. You know, so women, testosterone is the fountain of youth. Right. Women have it, and it's a driving force. It's sex drive. It's a lot of things for men and women. And that's how we optimize them. Testosterone. And when you say that to a woman at first, they're like, holy shit, then they educate themselves.
Am I going to grow a beard and get a deep voice?
Right.
Or,
right.
Like, that's probably what they're worried about.
And we're never going to give anybody anywhere close to what do that. Yeah. You know, that's taking a cycle of steroids. That's stacking it. You know, that's going to affect them. Not what we're going to do. And once women start having the education, and you talk, I'll tell you what, the biggest problem in our industry or any pushback in our industry is all about education. That's all it is. And you know what? That's sales. Sales 101. If you ever want to be a good salesperson, don't be a salesperson. Educate people. You educate people, you're never even selling anything in the first place. You're just giving an education lesson, and they'll sell themselves on the education that comes through there. Same exact way. We don't sell anything, again, because we're medical. You don't sell anything. But if you educate people the proper way of what's actually happening in front of their face, they start listening, and they're like, man, okay, that's me. You just described me. I want to see what this can do and how I can feel, because I'm fucked up and I need to feel better. And if this is how I feel better, then I believe you. You know? Yeah. And we have such a great staff. The only reason why we're a good business is because of our staff. Our nursing staff is, they are unfucking believable. That is the only reason why we're successful the way we are, is because we have an awesome staff. And that's we take big pride in that. Our culture and our staff is what pushes us to the top of the forefront of any of these clinics.
Culture is so important, man. It's everything. I mean, look at companies that we've talked about, First Form, S2. I mean, I think that one of the reasons they're so successful is the culture behind the company.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, that's why we love it. And it's fucking protein powder and vitamins, you know, like it's not the most exciting stuff in the world, but like,
but they've made it exciting.
They make it fun and exciting, and makes you want to be a part of it.
And anybody that's worked there, even if they leave or stay, they
leave with an education, man.
Rave about it.
They rave. And people that no longer work there are like, dude, it was awesome. I worked at a place that everybody was fired up all the time. Like, that's cool. And we operate the exact same way. You know, you don't want to say you're stealing anything from those guys, but Andy Sal, Chris, Jason Kane, like, they've built a culture that's unfucking believable. Aaron Summers, all those guys over there, they believe it and built it, and they live by it every single day. So, you know, like, why not try to be like somebody that? You know?
Absolutely. I've taken things that they do and implemented in my own business. 100%. You know, like, it's helped me so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe it and live by that shit every single day. Mm-hmm. You know,
having those values and those principles that it's core, what do they call it? Their core beliefs or core values.
Core values.
Yeah. So, but going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, you said you got your four things, but let's talk about being a father. What's that like, being a single father with your daughter? You said a daughter's 11 years old.
Yeah. It's the best thing ever, man. It is, it's so special. When she was born, you know, like, I'd be dead or in jail. And I say that humbly, you know, because I don't even want to go down my past to where I came from, how that would have happened, you know, but that's a fact. She changed everything in my life the day she was born. Like, I'll tell you what, I'd be a worse dad if I had a boy first, you know, because I would have been like, you little motherfucker, I'll throw you to the wall, shut your mouth. You know, my daughter, if I yell at her, which I do, you know, but then I go up in my room and I start crying to myself. God, I just yell at her. It's terrible. You know, like, when I see her cry because I yelled at her, like, I don't know.
Hurts,
like,
you.
Oh my God, I get sick to my stomach. But I can't show her I'm sick to my stomach because I can stand my ground, you know, because then she's going to walk all over me. But I do. And my daughter respects the shit out of me, and we have a great relationship. But I'll tell you what, you know, it, now I don't have somebody in my home anymore. And my daughter's about to turn into a woman. And
that's going
to
be
scares the shit out of me that I'm going to like have to figure out a way to, I'm going to send her to her mom's and be like, hey, you got to come over here, 'cause I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And, but this year two like monumental things happened in my daughter's life, or in my relationship with my daughter, which, you know, just, you know, melts me in the same time, you know? So June 28th, we were supposed to go to my sister's house, and, we're sitting there, and I'm like, Callie, let's go. Hold on, Dad. All right, 10 minutes later, I'm sitting on the couch watching TV. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we got to go. We got to go to your aunt's house. Like, it's her cousin's favorite place. I'm like, let's go. She's like, hold on, Dad, I'm getting ready. I said, what the fuck you mean you're getting ready? Put some clothes
put
on.
Yeah,
let's go. And she comes downstairs, got perfume on, her hair straightened, a headband in, dressed all nice, a little makeup on. I was like, oh, so you get ready now. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So no longer, hey, we're leaving in 10 minutes. Oh, shit. We're got to leave at this time. Do what you need to do to plan to get ready.
Every day now, before school, everything. She's got to get ready now. So she's got her bathroom. Like, and after that day, she went and redid her bathroom, reorganized it, hung her necklaces up, have like all her, like,
all those things.
I was like, wow, what just happened to my little girl? Yeah. She is no longer a little girl anymore.
Wow.
So then on August 1st, she's out of town with her grandma. in North Carolina, and she calls me. She said, "Dad," I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Send me some money. I'm going to the mall." Shit! In 35 days, you get ready, and now you want money for the mall?
Oh,
I was like, yeah, bring my little girl back. Like, we didn't have these problems 90 days ago.
Right. God.
Now all of a sudden, this is happening. But you know, it's like it's really special. Like, being a single father, and she's with me. Like, she's my role dog. You know, I take her everywhere, and I love being around her. You know, when she's not there, you know, because we do 5 days, 5-5-2-2. So okay. I have her Monday, Wednesdays, then her mom has her Wednesday, Thursday. And I have her every other weekend. So if I have her, I have her Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then she has her Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Got it.
So like by the end of those 5 days, now the older she's getting, now she has a phone. We talk every day. But before that, man, those like last 2 days, like, man, I'd get really, really sad, really depressed that she wasn't in my house, you know, anything like that. So anybody that has their kid full time, you are very blessed and special. Absolutely. Any mom that tries to keep their kid from their dad or vice versa, you're a fucked up person, and like she get fucking smacked upside your head every day. Because kids need both their parents. You know, God put us here for a reason, for a mother and father to do it together. So it's and again, back to my kids, mom and me have the unbelievable relationship. I said I need her. I haven't fought with my kids, mom in 8-9 years, something like that. It's a long time. Yeah. And we have great conversations and stuff like that. But you know, by that fourth and fifth day, it was just really getting depressed. So fatherhood to me, it's my greatest achievement and accomplishment in my life. It's always going to be.
Well, that's awesome that with where you guys are at, but also the relationship that you have with her mom.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a very similar relationship with my ex-wife. I've got a better relationship now than we did when we were married. And it's crazy. You know, it takes a while. You know, it took us, you know, divorce counseling and therapy to get to that point, but I mean, we were able to get to it pretty quickly. And really, that's awesome. It's just like being adults and letting things go and realizing the kids are most important.
Yep.
You know, but it's amazing how many people that I hear like, "Oh, that's so weird that you have a good relationship." Like, do you hear that? You get that stuff? Like,
oh, all the time.
It's insane how many people think that it's weird to have a good relationship with your ex. Like, no,
it turns into a weird conversation, and then they eventually flip it to that they're jealous.
Yeah.
They're like, "Man, that's weird." And they're like, "I'm actually jealous because my life sucks with mine."
Right.
You know, then I start looking at, not to cut you off, but then start looking at like some of my friends that'll be like, their kids are my age or my kid's age, and they're still fighting with their kid's mom. They're like, "She's a bitch." I'm like, "Well, here's the deal. There's two sides to every story."
Right.
And being one of your best friends, I'm not just going to take your side. Like, I have to be a best friend and be like, "Listen, there's something off here. You can't just be calling her a bitch all the time. Yeah. What are you doing on the other side that's making this relationship not work?"
Well, he's been calling her a bitch, but
it's been 10 fucking years. Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah, that, sure. That, and at the same time, like, is that how you want to teach your kids to respect their mom? Like,
right.
No, like, and absolutely not.
And women on the other side, I have best girlfriends. They're calling their dad an asshole. He doesn't provide and do this. I'm like, "All right, well, there's something you're not saying here, because you're my friend and you want me to take your side, but that's why I feel like I'm a good friend with people, because I don't just take your fucking side.
Right.
You know, I want to find out what are you doing wrong, and if it's I'm going to always ride or die for you, but I'm also going to tell you, like, you're wrong, you know? And I think when it comes to those type of relationships with your kids, like, if you don't have a relationship with your child's parents, whatever, you know, whatever, 10 years later, you're probably fucked up.
Right.
Let's be honest. And she might be fucked up too, but you're probably fucked up.
Right.
And you need to start taking ownership of that.
Yeah, there's a few things that I look at, or that I had to take a step back and look at.
We can cuss them here, right?
Yeah, sure. Fuck yeah.
Fuck shit.
So the first thing was, one, the kids are always first.
Yes.
One, and they're half of her. They're half me, they're half her. So if I'm going to sit here and hate my ex-wife, in my mind, that means I hate half of my kids. Fuck that. I love my kids 100%. So there's no way that I could carry any sort of bitterness with her and not love these kids fully, because that would reflect and that would show.
Yeah.
The second thing happened when we were going through the divorce, and I sat down with the attorney that I was talking to, and the first thing he asked me was, "So what did you do to cause all of this?" Even though that it wasn't really, like, I'm thinking in my mind, like, this was something that she did. It took me a second. It took me by surprise. I go, "You fucking kidding me?" And then all of a sudden, a quote clicked in my mind, and it was, I like to read, and actually books that we're reading right now, Jocko Willink on leadership and stuff like that. And one of his quotes has always stuck. It's been one of my favorite. And it says, "As a leader, my action or inaction is always going to result in some sort of outcome or consequence. And I just, in that moment, I'm like, why the fuck did I not take that self-reflection and realize, like, where was I bad at as a husband that caused us to get to this point? Now, granted, equally to blame, but at the same time, it's not all one-sided.
No.
And as soon as you can get to that fact and own up where you fucked up, and you can come to peace with that and apologize for it, it's going to make things so much easier.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem, is everybody wants to put blame on someone else, and they're not willing to sit there and own up to the fact that they fucked up in this, and they want the pity party, and they want people to feel sorry. No one's going to fucking feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
You fucked up in some sort of way that caused all this to happen. It's like, go. Like, figure it out. Get where you need to be.
Say, keep that, man. Means you're fucking, you got a heart, bro.
Yeah, man.
Means you got a heart.
Well, I think the only thing we haven't really touched on is hockey. Yeah. You know, so you're a coach at Lindenwood.
Yes.
Yeah. So how'd you get into that? Season.
Man, hockey's who I am. It's part of my identity at this point. I mean, I've had many thoughts in my brain of stopping, and me and the head coach, Gary, have had many good conversations about
Gary very well.
You know Gary?
I played hockey at Oakville with those guys.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So you're a South County Oakville motherfucker, huh?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I grew up playing hockey with all those guys.
So, you know, Timmy Gardner, Andy Marks,
yep.
Tyler Solberger, Kyle Rickerman.
All of them.
Those are my guys, man.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah, those are my guys.
Do you still play?
Before my back surgery, I was playing roller and ice for a while. I haven't put in any type of, honestly, I didn't play for about 4 years before that because my back hurt so fucking bad. Yeah. And after the surgery. I'm on the ice coaching for sure, but I haven't gotten back in any type of competitive stuff for a while. I will. I'll start picking up some skates probably at the end of this year.
Well, if you're looking for a play, I play in two different leagues, so I still skate twice a week.
Where at?
Wednesday night, it's at Brentwood. It's an over 30 league that I don't know if you recognize the name, Bob Shade. Mm-mm. So he just bought Wednesday night ice and kind of started his own league. It's pretty competitive. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, every Wednesday. There's three games a night. So
that's awesome.
Do that on Wednesdays, and then H&A hockey.
I used to play H&A back in the day.
So doing H&A, and that's, you know, once a week, but the nights rotate, places rotate, but yeah.
Yeah, man, that H&A, my games were like 10, 11 o'clock
some
at night.
Some of them, yeah.
I was like,
fuck
shit.
That.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was like, I ain't do this, but the older again, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's been tough. But yeah, the Wednesday night, you play at 8, 9:15, or 10:30.
Yeah.
So the latest one's 10:30.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not too bad. But yeah, I mean, it's, I played college hockey at University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Okay.
Those coaches there started Lindenwood's program. So my last season, they shifted over to Lindenwood and started Lindenwood's ice hockey program. So the same coaches that coached me for my 5 years moved over and started Lindenwood's program and started to coach them. I took a break from it for a little bit. Then I ended up being. Just kind of randomly got recruited to be a coach at Francis South Central. I was an assistant JV coach. Within 2 months, they moved me up to assistant varsity coach. The next year, I took over the team, and I was the head varsity coach at South Central for 4 years. Coached there for five with the head coach for 4 years. Had really good success over there. Me and Gary have been good friends for such a long time. We had many conversations about me coming over to Lindenwood. After the last season at South Central, I moved over to Lindenwood, and we've had our same staff for about 10 years. I coach with Gary, Timmy, Ricky Troutwine. We have a really good program over there. I coach the D2 team. Now, obviously, now we have an NCAA Division I men's ice hockey team.
Yeah, that's awesome. When did you guys go into that?
2 years ago.
Okay.
This will be the third season.
Okay.
But in our program, like, there's no separation. I mean, the coaches' room, like, we're all together, both staffs. Like, we hang out, we talk hockey. So, like our staffs, we never, like we share intelligence, you know, we go over film together, we talk hockey all the time, like, you know, you have your other programs, like your Miami of Ohio, your Michigan State, and stuff like that, that have a D2 team and D1 team. Those staffs have nothing to do with each other. They don't [S2] Really? [S1] See each other, they don't talk to each other, they don't text each other. We're all on text threads with each other, like we live the game together.
Is that D2 team like a team to get them ready for the D1 team? Or
it'll
is
never.
It?
It used to be when we had an ACHA D1 team, mm-hmm. you know, but now it's NCAA. ACHA is the largest league, but it's not NCAA. You mm-hmm. know, that NCAA.
Right. You can give scholarships now at NCAA where
correct.
Club hockey good.
Well, we wink, wink. You know, we had I mean, it's not a scholarship, it's a leadership grant, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. NIL money can come in any form in any type of college sport, though.
Okay.
That's a different conversation for a whole different podcast because I go down there how that's going to ruin college sports one day.
I'm with you on that one.
But you know, you're buying championships. But it's the gap between my team and that the big team is such a big gap.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, your NCAA and what people don't even realize too, you know, you got high school hockey, then you got my league, then you got NCAA, it's a big gap. But then like the NHL is like such a big gap.
There's
you know,
so many different juniors and levels. And
yeah.
Like that.
But even in baseball, you guys got four levels, you know, like
six.
Yeah. Shit. I mean, it's crazy, you know, but like that gap from that lower one to the major leagues, like it's a big fucking gap,
you
know?
It's a huge gap.
And there's so many different, like, I to be honest, I can never follow it. You know, like I get the baseball with the, you know, the different divisions there, but hockey, it always loses because I know a lot of guys go overseas to play and like stuff like that. It's just hard to even.
There's so many different levels, you know, in the United States for like actual NHL, you got NHL, AHL, ECHL, which are all, it's like, for baseball, it's like AAA, AAA. They're all in the same organization. So if you get signed to the Blues, they have an AHL team and ECHL team. So ECH, the East Coast Hockey. But it's a very tough, very competitive league. It's a really good hockey league. I mean, it's better than your overseas leagues. You know, it's a very, very competitive league out there. But the gap is just so big in the same way, you know, back to there, the gap for my team, the NCAA Division One, they're just, you could have some guys that crack, you know, the team, but I don't know if they cracked the lineup,
right?
You know, but they do have aspirations. We want them to have aspirations on there, but you know, eventually you settle into our team and we have a very good hockey team. You know, at my level, I mean, we dominate. We've gone to the Final Four three out of the last 4 years. We haven't won yet, which is why I'm never giving up till we win. we haven't won yet, but you know, every year we're always there. We're always competing at the end. Last year, I thought we were going to win the team that we lost to. If we played them 100 times, we're going to beat them 98 times. You know, it's just that one game. You know, they beat us, and they won. You know, it was crazy because the team that they played, we'd beaten like 7-1 and like 5-2 that year. You know, and we just didn't get over the hump in there. But, man, hockey's done so much, especially Lindenwood hockey. You know, we have this slogan, one team, one family, that I've moved over to my friends into business and everything. Like, it's what I live by is that statement. You know, just what happens in those four walls and the camaraderie and stuff like that. You know, every sport's got it, but hockey's different. You live in that world. Yeah. It's just different. Like, everybody in my life, all my friends, everything has came from a direct reflection of somehow in hockey. You might not have played with me. You might not have played the sport, but I met you through somebody that I played with or plays the sport. Like, it's just like a family. Like, it really is.
A mutual respect
that
comes with it. Because it's such a fucking tough sport.
Yeah. There's a lot of emotions inside of it, too. Yeah. You know, a lot of emotions because you got a fucking weapon in your hand. You can battle. You can fight. Like, you hit. You know, like football, don't get me wrong, is
fast.
Is a gridiron, right? But they're not moving 40 miles an hour hitting each other in center ice, you know. There's a lot of stuff that comes along with that battle that, you know, brings a lot of stuff out of you. And you have to trust the people on your bench and just – you know, the mentorship, you know, we get people jobs. You don't come to me to go to the NHL. You come to us to become better men, to be really good in society and get good jobs. You know, that's what we take pride on is we develop men. We're not developing pro hockey players. We're developing men to help later on skills in life. We've gotten so many of them jobs, internships, and everything. And, you know, my players are why I come back every single year. Mm-hmm. I absolutely fucking love our players. We have great players every year, great kids, great families, like, I mean, honestly, I don't even know if you've had a bad apple in the 10 years that I've been there, right? Every one of these kids leaves our program and is successful in life. They all have good jobs. We haven't heard any of them go down a bad path, anything like that. They're all winners, and it's a good feeling, and it's what brings me back every single day. I absolutely love coaching. I love the whole dynamic of it. And even my business partners know it takes a lot of my time, but they're like, man, I wouldn't even be the leader, the friend, the father, anything like that if I quit coaching. Like, it's just such a part of me that if I stop, part of me dies. And I just can't let that happen until eventually, you know, time's going to take its course. You know, when you're so much older than the kids, the gap starts happening. You know, we're younger coaches and we're pretty close to them. But I think when you start getting older, you know, I'll know when it's time to toss it in. When I'm not close enough to those players anymore to have the conversations, I start feeling like, not a older brother, I start feeling like a dad, then like it's time to stop. Yeah. You know, for sure it's time to stop.
It's beautiful, man. That's awesome. I love that. Well, Rocky, this has been awesome, man. Yeah,
I'm glad to have
you've
you
been
on
a
here.
Great he's like a perfect guest. Manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship. You know, you really covered it all. So we really appreciate you coming on here.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys having me on here. You know, it's good to get to know you guys.
Absolutely.
I'm seeing your emotion with the family stuff. Like, man, that's who I am. I live my life like that, you know. So, like, it's really cool to see that. Hear your guys' story, man. I think you guys got a great thing going on here. Like, keep kicking fucking ass out here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we like to end it with one last thing. We call it the tombstone game. Here lies Rocky. What's it say on your tombstone?
Great husband, father, friend. Yeah, that's really probably going to be it. You know, that's what I want people to know me as. I want people to know me as a great, great father, great friend, and great husband. And that's what I want to go down as.
Perfect.
Perfect, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, Dan, thanks for coming on. And anything else you
want
to plug before?
What a good question, man.
One last thing before we let you go. Do you want to anything you want to plug?
Yeah, New Age Health and Wellness. Come see us. We got three locations in St. Louis, Missouri. We got some in Kansas City. We're going to have one in Gulf Shores, Alabama. If anybody's interested in opening a franchise, we got an unbelievable model, unbelievable structure, turnkey operation, turnkey financing, turnkey marketing, turnkey systems and stuff like that in there. We're growing by leaps and bounds. We got a good culture. We got good people. And in general, if you're not coming to us, I hope you're going to get your stuff checked out and make sure you're getting your labs done. Make sure you're taking care of yourself out there, people. But New Age Health and Wellness, come check us out.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, man.
Go check out New Age. All right, guys, that'll conclude the show today. Thank you guys for so much for tuning in. If you haven't clicked that subscribe button, please click that for us. That helps the show grow. Hit that like button, comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.